fire, what you're saying?
Yes, fire key, give thanks to life as usual. I know it go.
We are here again, boy, and the Dread Podcast. Fire. What are we reasoning about today?
The most dreadful Aquaman can commit, but watch you know, it commit in a subtle form. Them gain profit off of the people, them anxiety, the people, them depression. So the main thing recently in the headlines is that Ryan Nephew, you know, the main sponsor of rum, probably not just in Jamaica, but probably across the Caribbean and even other territories, seen their revenue is $13.4 billion Jamaican dollars, around 75 million euros, I think. And it is that is at the end of the third quarter. And this is not even the fourth quarter. But we're going to look into why this has taken place. So why that revenue generated? Or them even come to be successful in the first place. Some whole heap of statistics and just reasoning what the people them need for here.
Well, I do want to kickstart off. I just want to clarify one thing before we even start. There's a misconception that Jamaica is like a smoking country, right? And people need to understand Jamaica is a drinking country, fire. Like majority of Jamaicans do not smoke, at least weed, that is. That's the notion. Fucks. Yeah. Jamaica is a rum. A liquor country fire. We just want to clear that up for people to always, right? Now, in regards to these people now, in regards to the profits, I guess for a business person, it would be, or a shareholder, a stockholder, or a board member, they would be very pleased with it. But obviously, they don't care the reason for it, right? But there is a flip side because I don't have it. Let me look for the exact number, but since COVID, Jamaicans have increased alcohol consumption by, what was it, like 140%? I don't know if it's the correct number, but it's around there, though. It has increased tremendously.
That's crazy, though, because them consumption did really, really, really high.
Right, that's what I said. That's why I was so shocked, because I was like...
And Jamaica have one of the highest party culture.
It's funny, but it's not funny. I was just trying to figure out, like, how can this even take place when they drink some fire? I've been to Jamaica where, I just want to clarify too, right? Black Americans, African-American alcohol consumption has nothing on the level of Jamaican consumption fire. Like, people down there drink day and night, all day, all night.
From the youth, them rise, man. A boom and rum, the youth, them have a flask, not them back pocket, and man, I tell the same brain after charge, and them have a grab a spliff too with him rear navy vibration. You deal with it, you see? Wow.
And big time.
Them not the money.
And nothing to eat too, because pure bone collar. No, you got a neck collar out there and spinal cord hanging out. So check this now. The thing, though, that really disturbed me after you brought it to my attention was the increase in off-premise consumption versus on-premise. So the way they identify off-premise is that when you buy it from a supermarket or a store and take it home to drink, compared to on-premise when you would drink it at a club or restaurant. Now, obviously, that declined because of COVID, right? So that means that people are not necessarily drinking in a social setting, because how many people are buying it at a store to drink in that environment? Because it didn't exist for majority of the time of COVID. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, you have more people. I don't know if you have more people. People just using it more as a coping mechanism. Let's just deal with the reality of liquor. I know people who drink don't want to hear this, but the coping, using liquor as a coping mechanism, has increased dramatically during COVID, right? And the alcohol, which is registered as a drug, fire, by the way. So let's. Alcohol is registered as a drug. So we have an increase in drug use, but societies don't see it as drug use. So you literally have a company selling a drug and they're listing their profits in the paper. That's like a heroin dealer, like having an article in the paper saying, hey, you know what I mean?
Remember I said the impact. Remember I said the first fun fact, where a lot of people even knowing them, and even if it's really fun, but the first set of cartels them, and the first set of mafia families, and the first set of what they would call underworld bosses used to make them profit of alcohol. So you hear about Al Capone, you hear about all of them, and then you see them as, hear them as gangsters. And really, alcohol sales them did a deal with first, you know, in America. So what if people hear about alcohol and them thing, then them are drugs, and them that them think about automatically where them say classified right now. But remember, there are certain things from that time that was originally categorized and classified as that by the own system where I sell you and I make profit and I get taxes off of it too.
And you know, it's wild in the article. What was it, the Gleaner? Jamaica Gleaner? The
yeah.
article. All right.
Yeah.
The wild part is obviously it's one-sided. They just focus on the profits. But if people are increasing alcohol, other things are increasing in regards to domestic abuse, violence on a whole, murder, self-harm, child abuse. You get what I'm saying? Like, because all those things come hand in hand with alcohol. So I think, like, as a society, I don't know if it's like people need to reflect and look at other means for escapism or coping. Because the things that we use, especially the alcohol, I remember I had a conversation with someone and they were trying to say what's more destructive. And I know heroin, cocaine, and all these things have destroyed many households. But over time, I don't think one can argue against the fact that alcohol has destroyed so many households and so many families.
You see, it's funny because we've realized that things get topsy-turvy because in this current society, them say them use alcohol for numb them pain. So when them say, add alcohol, yeah, all right, like could I hear somebody youth them in Jamaica say, you just take to me weed, I'm a rum, you know, I'm weed, I'm a rum, save me, you know. And I say, yes, me even to go slap well, two man over the soccer, two me day, I drink weed, I'm a rum, and me, I hold my meds, you know. And yeah, I say, so. Him really, I say, him not even overstand what I'm saying, because the culture where the youth them have right now, you know, you see the things them were good, it kind of seem bad to them, and the thing them were bad, it seem good to them. So you see, that is how real nephew get it away as a cultural thing in Jamaica. I want to make people know this, you know, real nephew is a cultural ambassador to Jamaica, you know. Seeing when people think about Ryan Nephew, them think about Jamaica, when them think about Jamaica, them think about Ryan Nephew. You know, I want to tell people that, you know, Ryan Nephew famous all across the board, you know.
And for those unaware, we're talking about white rum fire, ghetto people champagne, as Prof. I would call it, you know, because it's like white rum is an integral part of Jamaican culture, you know, whether it's rum and coke, whether it's fruit punch, whether it's something else. It's rum.
Them say them have, some people used to claim say a health benefit things too. But so you gotta have a minute amount of masses. Where I say, but it can be for health benefit. So we gotta say ourselves, you know, because we know what them thing they can do as original war stories. You know, say rum and them thing they kind of heal wounds and them something there. But we're not talk about even for that, you know, because we're the minority. The minority use it in that manner, you know.
They say putting rum at the top of your head and all those things, rum on your feet. No, fire. I don't know, because you know this alcohol increased dramatically in America also, but mostly with black men and Spanish men. I think my black men increased like 300 something percent. I swear I saw one time or at one time. And it's just like fire, I just think that's the highest example of hopelessness and something's wrong, because why are you drinking? I'm a man that used to drink, fire. So I don't care what nobody want to say. I drink to numb the pain of life, to escape, whether I did it in party settings or I did it by myself. You know, that's just my truthful experience. And that's why I stopped drinking, because I got to the point where I could handle life and I could handle the ups and downs better. So I didn't need any assistance. But I know people don't want to really say that. They say they're a social drinker, because why do you need to drink when you go out? You know, you can't have a vibe on your own. You can't enjoy yourself on your own. You want a little cool off. You want something to take the edge off. And that's why you drink. And the thing we have to say now is just like, we need healthier forms. Yes, we live in an environment that's very rough to thrive in, you know, especially for many people who don't have resources or skills to provide. But we need healthier coping strategies, fire. Because it's liquor thing. And most people can't handle liquor. It's like when they drink the liquor, they get very volatile.
Very, very fair. Very.
You know, so it's, go ahead.
And I said, you know the funny part about it, you mentioned that is what I always say. This is what I always say. Like, check it. You give people, we know alcohol is toxic. We know alcohol is destructive. We know alcohol is not something that elevated no farmer for way. So we classify alcohol as a poison. We know it's a poison. It's toxic. So you can your pH level drop. We know that. So you become more acidic naturally because that's the way you're intaking in your goodie. You intake acid. So that simply means so your expression and everything become acid as well as your blood pressure and all of these things change. But check levels now, what even more scary is that them use biology. Seeing biology, I'm not talking about even that abstract science, you know, I'm talking about biology, like marketing, BUYOLOGY. So biology. So this is what them use neuromarketing to capture the people then, because them tell them one slogan, and this is where stimulate the brains of people where them don't overstand, drink responsibly. If you are going to give the people poison, you make the poison legal to make profit, but then you tell them to go and drink that poison responsibly. You know what that does to the neurons in the minds of people, within the body of people, that fire the neurons, that tell the senses all sort of things. The people want to go and know, what is this that I should be drinking responsibly? And we know, say, it's poison based off a fox. Majority of them know that too, but it's just, they want to do it because, as they say, socialization. Them want it because it make them cool. Them want it because it enhance them for go do certain activities where them couldn't do naturally. It enhance them for escape from all of them problems. So if you check it out for you, it's a brainwash and a spell the people them under for even abuse alcohol. So cause most of them money going in it too. And it's sad, and them say them poor. How can you be poor but you invest in this company called Ryan Nephew to make 13.4 billion, but there is no 13.4 billion corporation or organization in the so-called ghetto. But to enhance a man thing over there, so
I don't want to sell. And I want to make clear, isn't Campari and Appleton under the same company,
I
right?
So. I'm 100% sure, but Appleton Estate might be a different company, I think. I think it's a different company.
Because isn't the main, like, the mother company an Italian company, isn't it?
Yeah, overseas, yeah.
Yeah, look at that again. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, fire, because
the main facts of them quote, just to add one thing, the main facts of them quote the revenue in euros, though.
It's just the connection there, right? And I just feel that, like, alcohol is ingrained in every aspect of our society. TV shows, movies, all form of celebration, sponsorships, which is pretty bugged out. Like, I'm kind of shocked that some of the events that allow alcohol sponsorships and that contradicts what they're trying to do. Some people sometimes present themselves as doing something positive, but yet they'll have a liquor sponsorship. But we said it before and after looking at these revenues, because remember, for everyone aware, murders have rise. Obviously, domestic abuse have rise with alcohol use, so there has to be a correlation there, right? I think it's irresponsible for public figures to promote alcohol, period. You know, because, like, especially if you make a song about drinking, because you're making songs about a substance that people can get carried away with and can control them and not only be a detriment to them but their own family and people around them. And so it's like the thing kind of, it's a different level of irresponsibility people have been demonstrating that they don't get condemned for. Because, you know, like rappers, like I had a, I know this is about Ray and Nephew, but I have to bring this up. So I remember one person was trying to justify, he was like trying to praise P. Diddy to me, like he was some great entrepreneur. And I said, fire, this man promotes poison to his people. And he couldn't wrap it around his head. He thought he's just a hustler. That's how he identified it, right? So when a man sing a song or even out in public, if you know people look up to you and vibe it, you can't be drinking in public. Because people are going to mimic the behavior. and they can't deal with the problems when they come. Any man who drink alcohol a lot, they have problems for you. Can't tell me nothing different, yeah.
And it's funny how man them use economics for be the top outcome over every single thing else, because every time you talk about alcohol or you show them some facts, them start telling us, oh, check this now, you fight the man because the man make some money, or it's me, I say, oh, but you have to support the people at the bar because that them used to send them you to school, or you see me, I say, oh, you know, want people striving their life, and say, man, I make money. So, yes, I mean, I say morals and principle,
no matter. No, they ain't no morals and principle fire, because check it. Any event I do is no alcohol being sold fire. It's not even an option or a question. We could easily sell alcohol at certain places and we're not doing it, you know, because it's just principles and morals. It's just something that you stand for. It's not fire. You get what I'm saying? It's not a money thing every time with them. Everything is just a money and it's hustling. They don't understand the impact of certain decisions that they have. You get what I'm saying? I'm not going to assist. That's like saying right now, I know for a fact I could do a dance hall show and get a lick ASAP. I'm not going to bring no man to come on stage talking craziness to people for over an hour indoctrinating the people here. Now, some people look at it as foolish. You foolish, but say I could live with myself and I could sleep good at night. Yeah.
Comfortable.
Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, it's just a vibe there. But Ray and F, you think very disturbing. You know, very disturbing because, as I said, there's a correlation with the rise of their profits and the rise of social ills in the country. You know, and it's just sad that people are, they're doing other stuff, but obviously more and more people are using the alcohol to get through what's going on because many people are overwhelmed. So if you're drunk or inebriated, I don't really think you'll be doing the best job of taking care of yourself and taking care of your family and taking care of business.
You know what me I gotta say right now, I gotta prove every single thing we just said, because sometimes people hear the reasoning and them not overstand economics. We mentioned it in the beginning, we're gonna mention it in the middle and the end. Because economics is flipped the wrong way by majority of us. That's the reason why we're down on the ladder. Because watch this. The government have a curfew in place, you know, for the longest while, you know. The people, them, the woman suffering. Remember, so the Jamaican government, even though, you know, say we don't love American system, or we don't love out of Rome, you know, we know, say, them create incentive for the people, them, within things like that, because they want to stimulate them own economy, which is a trickle-down practice, but them put an incentive in place, even though it, we know, say, originally, we know the intention of it. But the Jamaican government never give the people, them, the incentive. So the people them are suffering right now. Remember, the majority of the Jamaican population suffering. If you think about it, for what standards of living supposed to be. So how comes the profit of this from ordinary people? And it's not them can't tell me not tell me say some big entity about them thing, you know. Are the ordinary people are the consumers of Ray and Nephew? Because them can't go tell me say, oh, Ray and Nephew is a posh product and it's been sold. To these particular people. No, it target one set of people for the most part because they make it become a part of the culture and who build the culture. Now, poor people, because a majority of them make up the structure. You see what I say? So you have to think about them thinking, how can a company get 13.4 billion dollars in revenue when time people are at their utmost lowest, when they make the least amount of money because the government not give them enough money to help them out and a pandemic can take place. How can this happen? That simply means it has to be within the mind where you have to see it from this particular angle to ensure that this happens. Because if the people don't support a business, it can make so much revenue.
But then when you check it too, same way, remember, it's just like profits decrease, but hopelessness increase. Because you remember you said they was already suffering pre-COVID, right? It wasn't like, you know, it was already suffering. Hey, you know, I know a bridge down there that used to have one supermarket. And it's pure skin they buying down there, you know, chicken skin. Frying the chicken skin, currying the chicken skin, yeah. And the chicken fat. Now, Fire, that's a serious thing, yeah.
We're not talking about poor people back. Make aisle, you know.
Fire, we're not talking about chicken back or chicken feet. Fire, we're talking about chicken skin. You know, the thing dread, you know?
I,
not the thing dread, you know? Dread, you know? So, no, it is what it is. And, you know, it's just like, until people kind of just deal with the thing on the heights, so exploitation will continue, you know? Because all they're doing is they're really profiting from suffering, you know? Like, directly. They're really profiting from poor people suffering.
Yeah, but you see, that mentality again. So you see, marketing, I'm talking about economics and all this sort of the marketing come in again, neuromarketing, because watch, you know, you a profit off of the poor man suffering, you know. But the poor man not even know same as suffer to the levels where your product supposedly give him. See, because your product make him feel like he's a superman and make him feel like he can take on the world, you know. Because you ever hear the man of drink sing them songs, say them drinking them rum and Red Bull. And you see, I'll make it them heart full and them thing the fire. The way how them feel is a different feeling. You ever see when a man drop off a rum tree, that's how we call it a Jamaica, you know. So the man, you hold the man drop off a rum tree, means him just drop down. All right, it's when time man drink rum. When man drink rum, them go home, go beat them wife. May I tell you, like anybody in the Jamaican culture know that. When time man drink rum, them go home, go beat them wife. When I tell us every man who do it, we drink rum, do that, you know. But me, I tell you, say majority at the time when the man them drink rum and them say them drink rum and them paro. See, and so when you drink rum and you paro, them go home go beat them wife. Majority of the man them were not alcoholic. Check it now. The abuse full, and plus Jamaica is already a place with all depression. But nobody now want to talk about that.
But fire, I don't want to stretch out the reasoning, but that's one of the things I thought about a lot too in regards to the connection with the mental illness. The pandemic, the epidemic, whatever the biggest pandemic is, a mental illness in Jamaica, and how the pressure increased it mixed with more dependence on substances. You know, and anyone listening, Fire, we want to know that alcohol is registered as a drug. So, you know, Fire, right? So I know people look at things like they're not alcohol is poison. I'm telling you, this is coming from a man who used to drink, Fire. Like, really drink, right? I don't drink anymore. I haven't drank for years because I found out a way just to deal with life. When I go out, I don't have no anxiety, no insecurities. I don't need nothing to boost me. I don't need nothing to feel relaxed. I go out there and full enjoy myself. Anyone drinking, you got to deal with whatever you're dealing with to get to a point where you don't need to drink, Fire, because your life is going to be much better. Believe you me. You know, so Fire, we give thanks for the reasoning. Same way, give thanks for everybody supporting Ballhead and the Dread. Also, check us out, ConsciousTea.com. Music from the one R. Tarchi there in the description. Also, new music coming from the one R. Tarchi there. And we got to figure out the gear, you know, make sure that people get the proper link when the thing ready.
Yeah, man, disrupting the status quo, the EP release in November 26, man. Yeah, man.